Welcome to For Good Measure, an interview series celebrating diverse composers and other creative artists, sponsored by a grant from the California Arts Council. I'm Nanette McGinnis, Artistic Executive Director of Ensemble for These Times. Today we continue our interview with E4TT Audiovisual Project Specialist and For Good Measure co-producer and audio engineer extraordinaire, Stephanie M. Newman. You wrote Hydrocosmic Echoes for E4TT, which we premiered in 2022 for Dark Universe Mysterious Spaces. For that piece, can you talk about the compositional process and your inspiration for the piece? Because I remember it definitely was a fixed media with ocean sounds.
Yeah, so I knew that the concert was going to be the Dark Universe Mysterious Spaces. And I thought, well, I really love recording the ocean and I really love space.
Mm-hmm.
And what mysterious spaces both of these are and dark.
Right.
Really. I mean, so I thought it would be really interesting to kind of play around with the idea of sounds from both of these, but mixing them together and thinking about the similarities and differences in the exploration and the space and the ocean and all of that in a piece. And so it was one of the electroacoustic pieces I worked. So I recorded ocean sounds and then I grabbed sounds from Mars,
mm-hmm.
and I used that, played around with those together so that you couldn't really tell which was which. So there was these electronic sounds and there's also these really nice waves. And there's the little, I dropped a hydrophone microphone. This is my first, like, I wanted to get one and I thought this is the perfect time. And I bought a mic. I hooked it up to my Zoom H6 and I was out there on the pier in Monterey Bay recording the clicking sounds of fish. I think they were like attacking the mic almost. They were like, this is not food. But it turned out being a really interesting sound that I used and worked really well with all of the other electronic sounds that were happening.
Definitely did, yeah.
So yeah, I did that. And then I used the frequencies that I heard from all of these recordings and I started writing, pitches for the instrumentalists and textures and all of that. And I created melodies with that and did interplay between the recording and their acoustic sounds. And it was fun. And it's notated, but I like to use events. So there's a event of maybe a notated section, but it's a timed score.
Right.
And so then you would do these different events at certain times. Sometimes it could just be text, or sometimes it's actually the specific notes and melodies that they should be playing, or just some pitches, and they can decide how to play, when to play. Maybe there's a little bit of instruction with it. So that's how that piece came to be and ended up being realized.
It was a wonderful piece. And I really liked that you leaned into the notion of space and ocean and deep spaces. When I came up with the title, I didn't just call it space. I specifically wanted to have spaces in there.
Yeah.
It's clear you like to play with sound. Is that what draws you to using fixed media in your composing, and do you see advantages and disadvantages to that?
I think that in a way it's another or a few more musicians. That's how I hear it sometimes. So I made a trio sound like seven people.
Right.
So I think an advantage is I can kind of fill out some of the sound how I would like, because I have these recordings in addition to the players. And also I like to present it to people who haven't really played it before sometimes, just to see what happens. Sometimes people don't like it, but I feel like for the most part, people are interested.
They'll try it once, right?
The right one, yeah. But seeing how the performers react in their own way to the sound is really important to me. But that's the difficult part, is like I'm recording this sound from a totally different space, different area, you know, somewhere else. And I experienced it one way. And so some of that stuck with me when I was writing the piece too. I'm in that. But then I'm presenting this to the performers and they haven't, you know, been through that same experience. They weren't there on the beach when I recorded the ocean. They weren't there, like, you know, like there's some of that where it probably, like, it doesn't translate, but that's what I'm trying to do in my program notes or also extra things, bringing performers into a space with sound that is already there instead mm-hmm. of things that I've recorded is also super exciting for me and almost easier because it's there. It's the natural sound, I guess. I didn't have to capture it. And then so I've done a little bit with that, but it's sometimes hard when you want to play in a concert hall, you know?
Yeah. So it sounds like part of what you care about in your music isn't just the external experience. It's the experience from the inside.
Yeah. I think it's because of the way I really experience sound personally. And so sitting in it, in the sound for me is meditative can be and also the whole something that I wrote about in my thesis, the whole idea of all sound is music. And I really believe that when I'm writing, that I'm in that mindset of, you know, that's why I'm recording a fan. Because there's so many frequencies, there's so much potential in that fan that you're just like, oh, it's so annoying. And yes, it can definitely be sometimes painful.
Yes.
But then when I go in and I'm like messing around with EQ and like, which is like, you know, picking out frequencies and different pitches, I'm really like getting deep into that sound. And it becomes almost, you know, for me, it becomes something else. Yeah.
Right. Well, that kind of leads to the next topic I wanted to talk to you about. You know a lot about equipment and you're definitely a gear hound and you love audio and you also love video as well. And you've done video and audio for us. How does your passion for music and audio connect with the video and with using gear and in that direction?
So as I kind of mentioned, I was trained in audio. I did like a summer workshop at the recording workshop back in Ohio, and I did audio classes throughout school, and I have now done a lot of projects with that. But with all of that audio and editing, it can be very meticulous detail.
Oh, very. Yes.
When you're recording, there's best or better ways to capture sounds and to get them more naturally, even though they're not, you know, when you then play it back, but how to capture the full sound and all of that, the detail and all, I think that's what draws me a lot to audio, and it relates a lot to video and video editing. And I had dabbled a little bit in video in grad school, more so playing around with images, picking out colors and different things. So some visual art pieces. And then through different projects, I just naturally kind of fell into doing more video work. And now I'm, you know, they're very similar with the editing and the gear. And now it's super combined. Before, I didn't really know too much about video and was a little like, I really wanted to dive into audio, but now they're both kind of a big part. I think naturally pair well.
Your passion has expanded.
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly made some wonderful videos for us. Can you talk about your time working for E4TT? You've worn a number of hats for us, all of which we're very grateful for.
6 years? 2017? I think that's when I started.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, I started out just financially. I was working as the music administrator for the music department at Mills College. And, you know, after I graduated a couple months later, I got that position. And, you know, I love spreadsheets and organization as an administrator. I kind of fell into that, but it was, you know, a full-time job. And, you know, it's so expensive, unfortunately, to live in the Bay Area. And
right.
I needed more. And I also wanted something different, I think, to like working with an ensemble, or, you know, somebody who was in ensembles and was a performer. I was very interested in seeing kind of the inner workings of another ensemble and, you know, what does it all involve? And so you were looking for an intern, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, well, actually, I'm looking for more work. So I did admin. I remember sitting in your dining room kitchen with the stamps and getting the envelopes together and all of that at the beginning.
Right, right.
And I was just doing so much admin. I was trying to figure out how to do more audio video at the same time. And so E4TT, Nanette, you presented other opportunities, more audio video things. And I just kind of blossomed and really appreciate that you have given me the space actually for that E4TT and yeah, you have. And so I feel like I've really grown as and been very happy with all of the work that I'm doing for Ensemble for these times. And I'm very excited to see more and more projects as we go, you know, as the years go. So,
Yeah, no, it's definitely mutual admiration here. We love the trailers that you designed for us. And the podcast is successful because of your meticulous attention to detail and sound. For all of you listening out there, without Stephanie, this podcast could not be. It would just fall flat on its face. So very grateful to you.
Yeah, it's been an exciting project and I'm excited to put together some new episodes as well coming up.
I know, we're really
looking forward to that. Stay tuned,
everyone.
No, little promo.
Yeah, stay tuned. We have some great conversations coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'll talk about it soon, but I've been doing visuals for some of the concerts, and that's been really exciting to work with E4TT in that way, and other composers, like being a fellow composer, it's interesting to create a video for someone else,
right,
in that way, instead of me writing and then also creating my own visuals, actually mm-hmm. taking a composition that somebody else has written. And it's another kind of creative mind space that I get into for that. Yeah.
You've done some really interesting projection video work for us for other pieces, and we've gotten compliments from other composers on your work. People really impressed by what you're doing. When we do multimedia concerts, which we do at least once, if not more often, a year, some of the videos and visuals come from you, and they're great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very, very glad that other people also are liking that. And I have fun. I have fun doing
it. Yeah. Oh, good. I think that's the important part, that you have fun mm-hmm. growing with fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to For Good Measure. And a special thank you to our guest, Stephanie M. Newman, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast by clicking on the subscribe button and support us by sharing it with your friends, posting about it on social media, and leaving us a rating and a review. To learn more about E4TT, our concert season online and in the Bay Area, or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit us at www.e4tt.org. This podcast is made possible in part by a grant from the California Arts Council and generous donors like you. For Good Measure is produced by Nanette McGinnis and Ensemble for These Times and designed by Brennan Stokes, with special thanks to co-producer and audio engineer Stephanie M. Newman. Remember to keep supporting equity in the arts and tune in next week for Good Measure.